thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because He inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, so much for this psalm. It is beautiful. We want to learn what it means. And as we've just read it, we want to live in some of these verses. Have these verses be our testimony. And so, Lord, bring that change about inside of us and in our midst, and bring glory to yourself through it. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Imagine being buried alive. Well, on April 19th, 1995, Amy Downs did not have to imagine it. It happened to her. A bomb exploded in front of the building where she worked as a clerk for a credit union. 168 people died that day, including 19 children in a daycare facility, along with Amy's best friend and 17 of her coworkers. Countless online articles describe it. A third of the Alfred P. Mora Federal Building had been destroyed by a homemade bomb. A deadly combination of fertilizer, diesel fuel, and other chemicals hidden in a Ryder truck parked outside. So yes, the 30-year anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing was last Saturday, Holy Saturday, the day before Easter. And there's a powerful documentary on Netflix about it that was released that day a week ago. And this documentary features, among many stories, Amy's story about being buried alive under rubble and concrete. About being buried alive under rubble and a slab of concrete and being one of the last people rescued that day. Imagine. She now, a strong believer, is an author, motivational speaker, has a book, Hope is a Verb, My Journey of Impossible Transformation. She's even an Iron Man triathlon finisher. You know what that is? Yeah, you run a couple miles. No, you swim a couple miles. And then you bike like 100 miles. And then, all right, let's run a marathon. You up for it? That was an interesting response. I'm not sure what collective word was said there, but it's something like, yeah. Well, she did that. I mean, she's in the embodiment of words that are precious to me from Psalm 116, verse 7 through 9. Be at rest once more, O my soul. I know it in the old NIV version. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." And she runs, swims, and bikes and more before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, but imagine that day 30 years ago. I read in one place where she was sitting at her desk, you know, in her chair, and the instant of the explosion, her chair dropped 3 stories and turned her upside down, plunging her into this mountain of rubble and concrete. And she describes it as suddenly being at the bottom of what was a 9-story building minutes before. Imagine. The problem today for some of you is that it's pretty easy for you to imagine that. Now, the physical horror she went through that day and what so many other people went through, that might be impossible for any of us to imagine unless we've been through it ourselves. But, and this is what Amy Downs goes around the world talking about, too many of us feel like we're being buried alive, even as we live our day-to-day lives. And maybe like her, as she thought that day when she was going to die, maybe we feel like we're not really living yet. Someday we'll start our lives, so we'll be living the lives we want to live. But for now, we're trying to get through, trying to get by, feeling buried alive. And maybe because of that, you know, when she felt that, it wasn't just the rubble and the concrete that weighed down on her. It was the regret that she thought she was going to die. And maybe we can all relate to that. You know, there's some of us here who know, at least this is what we'll say, at least to ourselves, we're not walking in the land of the living, not today. We're trying to get there, trying to feel like we're there sometimes, but we feel buried in one way or another. And I felt that. And Psalm 116, verse 7 through 9, has been like a hand reaching down to pull me up, the hand of the Lord. "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." So this is part of a whole psalm that really is like one big rescue operation. That's Psalm 116. The ESV Study Bible says this: it's a hymn of personal thanksgiving for God's care. And it starts where God always wants us to end up, loving him because he first loved us. "I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish." Sheol means underworld. That's perfectly aligned with the picture of being buried alive, because it's underground. I'm under it. You know, the pangs of Sheol. I'm being crushed here. But God heard my cry, and he saved my life. And I love him. But he first loved me because he rescued me. He redeemed me. He delivered me. You know, this is really the testimony of every believer. And yet there still are some believers who feel buried, snared, grabbed by the pangs of Sheol, suffering, distress, and anguish. Well, look at these words. Maybe they're just on the screen. Maybe you don't have a Bible open before you. Maybe you do. These are in the Word of God. You are hearing them today. God meant them to be there. And what is he saying? What is God's word saying to you? That he hears you. He hears you. He inclines his ear to you now. Feel it. Know it. He understands both what you are telling him and what you're not telling him. He knows what you're going through. He's always paying attention to you, always looking after you. I know every time I say these words, I have to I think, oh, I haven't thought them that much, or as much as I would have liked to have thought them. I know many of us have just, I mean, the rubble and concrete inside our heads, you know, the toxic waste dump between our ears in terms of what we think, the self-talk we have. Scripture just opposes it and clears it out. And watch what happens now. As you feel him hearing you, inclining his ear to you, he calls on you to call on him. Verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. That's a word for self. Save me! Deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. So that's your part in all of this, to call on him. Call on him. Ask him for help. Ask him to save you, redeem you, deliver you, guide you. You don't have to be smart, if you were wondering about that. You don't have to be strong. You just have to be simple. That's the word used here. He preserves the simple. Now, what's simple about you is the same thing that was simple about Amy Downs under all that rubble and concrete. You simply need to be delivered. You can't deliver yourself. Someone who has the ability, and there's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ, needs to come and save you, redeem you, and he will. He hears you. He hears your cry. He hears you calling on him, and he responds. So grab yourself by your shirt, you know, and talk to yourself, because this is what the psalmist does next. Talk to yourself and tell yourself to return to him. Return to your rescuer, your peace, your faith, your rest. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So this is the psalmist talking to the psalmist. He's talking to himself. You ever been in a situation where someone caught you talking to yourself? And maybe they say, what, are you crazy talking to yourself? Well, you have a response now. What, are you crazy? You don't? It's biblical. Maybe you have a problem. Maybe you need to go in the corner right now and talk to yourself about this problem. Now look at what he's saying to himself. It's way different than the self-talk I find inside my head too much of the time. Go back to God. Go back to the one. He has been good to you. I know you're complaining about this thing, that thing. I know you have a long list of things that bug you, that cause you to feel defeated or deflated. He has been good to you. Let's look at the truth. That's what gratitude does. It refocuses us on the truth. Because who are we grateful for? The one who saves us, the one who delivers us. Now, you read the psalm carefully, because he's talking to himself in verse 7, and then he's talking to God in verse 8. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So it's a trilogy of God's dealings with us. And really, they're all similar. To have those tears, to have that stumbling, it feels a lot like dying. He rescues us from all this. But look at what he rescues us from. Not just from our circumstances, but from our reaction to our circumstances. Because most of the time, our feelings about our circumstances, our inner thoughts about our circumstances, are worse than our circumstances. They make our circumstances worse than they need to be. And God rescues us from that. Yes. That's what you want. That's what you need. That's what I want. That's what I need. Yeah. He rescues me from how I feel. Because how I feel is part of the problem. And it's based on lies. If I'm not sensing him with me, if I'm not focused on his faithfulness, if I'm focused on whatever else I'm focused on more times than I want to be, he rescues me from that. He rescues from how you feel. Even when you feel this bad, when you feel this buried. Now, how does he do this? Well, the psalmist now takes us, in the remainder of the psalm, takes us to this place, showing us how. Like, what's the experience of being rescued, and what happens inside of us and in us and through us? And the first thing he does is kind of reflect on his moments of despair and struggle. Amy does this when she describes her time in the rubble. Well, that's what these next verses are, kind of God's time, or the man of God's, the person of God's time in the rubble with that slab of concrete over them. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I set my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? So verse 10 is quoted in 2 Corinthians, verse 11 in Romans 3. Verse 11, by the way, is about God. It's not about us. It's not about us pointing fingers at each other saying we're liars. It's just compared to us, you know, God is so different. Compared to God, we're all liars, because he's so true, honest, faithful, and good. That's the point of such a statement. Not to make us feel bad about ourselves, but to feel good about him and how faithful he is. And that's why you have those two verses together. You have that verse 10, which is, you know, that's all we have. We believe and we speak for what we believe. And so, look, I believe, but I'm afflicted. I'm feeling this. We're honest with God. We know that he's different. And then that brings us to verse 12. So it makes sense how the verses flow together. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits for me? He's the one who did it. He's the one I count on. He's the one I rejoice in. He's the one that I haven't been thinking about. He's the one that my mind was built to think about. My brain works better when my brain is fixed on God. Amen? And my brain doesn't work so well any other time. Amen? Yeah, amen. Yes. Amen to that. Yes. And so now we're getting pointed to one of the key teachings of the psalm, part of the how. Because if he does all this for us, I mean, that's a real question there. He's not just asking that question so it can dangle. It's a question mark at the end of verse 12. Well, what can I do about this? God did deliver me from death and tears and stumbling. I want to pay him back somehow. But how can I do that? Well, God does not give us a way to pay him back, but he does give us a way to respond to him. We might even call that paying him back. We know we can't pay him back. We can't purchase from him what we want from him, what we need from him. It's given. It's free. He did it. It all comes from him. We don't meet him halfway or anything like that. He does it all. And so after he does it all, now comes our part, our lives. What do we do? You can call it a testimony. You can call it witnessing. You can call it worship. It's God's version of, if you see something, say something. If you see God at work in your life or the lives of others, then say something about it. And that's what Amy's been doing for 30 years. That's what she does now. And that's what we're called to do. That's the decision of the psalmist. I saw God. He saved me. I'm going to say something. That's what I can do. That's what I'm left to do. And our whole lives are folded up in that. And that's where some of us struggle. We don't have the full experience of the blessing of God. We don't tell anybody about it. We don't talk about it. We were given mouths and languages so we could speak about him and what he did for us. And you could see somebody in trouble, and you could bring in all the best communicators in the world, all the greatest Christian superstar, whatever, bring them all in the room and have them all speak to this person that you know that's hurting. And none of what they provided would be as powerful as you. Seeing something and saying something as you giving your testimony. Your testimony is the most powerful thing in the universe for helping other people and yourself. Sometimes you just need to tell your testimony to yourself. Speak to yourself like the psalmist did. Be at rest once more, oh my soul. Calm down, self. Get your eyes where they need to be. Get them back on the Lord. Fix your eyes on Him. That's what your eyes are for, not to look at this, that, or the other thing, but to look at Him, to see Him, to behold Him, to look for Him, to see what He's up to inquire. What is He doing? God, save me. I'm saying something. I will lift up the cup of the salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of His saints. Now you might think, boy, those verses just don't go together. Well, let's talk about that last one there, verse 15. First of all, it does not mean that God likes watching believers die. Amen? It does not mean that. It means that He is so much a part of every moment of our lives that He is even there at the end. Some say that word precious means costly. He feels the cost. He feels the value of who you are and your whole life, all the way through your life, and maybe especially at your death. And maybe you don't even know your value. Maybe you don't know your value to Him, but you're worth it to Him. Because He says so, not because you said so, not because it fits on some scale inside your head. Because He said so. It's a mystery, His love. It always will be. Even in heaven, a million years from now, it'll be a greater mystery. Because our minds will be able to fathom more information and we'll have more questions about His love for us. Why? That will be even a bigger question a million years from now. Why? And we'll ask it in wonder. It'll be a form of worship. Why? We won't know because we won't be God. You can't get inside the mind of God unless you're God, and you're not going to be God ever. I know some of us want to be God. Some of us act like we are sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. No amens on that one. That's good. That was wise. Yeah, but it's true. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, died on the cross to save and deliver us from the immeasurable weight of the rubble and concrete of our sins, so that even at the moment of our deaths, we would share in His resurrection power and hope. And knowing that at the end of time, we would actually even be physically resurrected as well. We matter to Him, no matter what, no matter when. In other words, if you die physically alone, it could happen. Who knows how? We don't know. Maybe you're buried, you know, and nobody else is there, and that is where you die. And so you seem to be alone, but if you are His and He is yours, He will be right there with you. That's what He's saying here. He'll be right there with you for your last heartbeat, your final breath. You will not be alone. And you can rest assured that no part of His plan for your best can be frustrated or compromised. And that includes the exact, already planned moment of your death. You might be horizontally alone when you die. You might be horizontally alone right now. But you're not vertically alone right now, and you won't be vertically alone that day either. He will be with you. He was with Amy as she thought she was dying under that rubble, thinking about her life, talking to Him about her life. He's with you now. The psalmist says so. That would be the moment of great, great isolation, that moment of your death. And there He is. You can just see Him paying attention to you like no one else. And that's the picture the scriptures are giving us. And so all this, it gives us great hope. My dear friend Martin Sanders, this guy was a people person. He was known for being Dr. Fun. I mean, because he would gather a bunch of pastors together, and he was the only one who knew how to have fun, because pastors don't know how to have any fun. That's really true. I mean, somebody says, hey, let's get together with all these pastors. You're interested? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I want to be interested. But if Martin was going to be there, oh, we're going to have a great time, because he was just so... He was a walking community, you know. Everywhere he went, there was community, and you could feel that. He died by himself in his house. That was hard for us who loved him and knew him. Just by himself. One of his daughters said to me after the memorial service, I don't know what prompted her to say this to me, but she just came up to me and talked to me about seeing her dad after he had died. And she said, John, it was the strangest thing. He kind of had a smile on his face. I just thought you should know. Yeah? You might be horizontally alone, even if you're surrounded by people like you are right now. But you're not vertically alone. He's with you. Ah, he's so good. That's part of how he delivers us, not just from death, but from those tears and that stumbling. What do we do? What do we do? The psalmist goes on to talk about this. Oh, Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to say something because I saw something, and that something is what you did in me. And notice that what God did not only saves the person, but redefines the person. Now, identity is set straight as well. And this is part of the toxic self-talk inside of our heads. You know what I'm talking about. When you're going through something and you talk, I'm such an idiot. You do that kind of thing. And I know it's worse than that, but this is church and I'm not going to say it, you know. But it's in your head, it's in my head. It's garbage. And the Holy Spirit does a work of just clearing that out. And that's what the psalmist is experiencing here. You know who I am? I'm yours. You saved me. You delivered me. I'm your servant. I'm a member of the family. I'm a son of your maidservant. I'm in, not out. Adopted all the way into the family of God. That's who I am. And I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm not going to live in a way that's quiet about it. I'm not going to speak in a way that's quiet about it. I have my own way of letting the story be told. And that's your life. You're a story. The psalmist was a story, and your story has been changed now. The story that you are has been changed by God. And now he's playing the lead role in your story. And that is something worth talking about. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So it talks about payment. We really don't pay him back. And yet the psalmist uses that. I will pay my vows. So I'm going to give my testimony. I'm going to witness. I'm going to say what I saw. I'm going to rejoice in what he's done. I'm going to live differently. What does Scripture mean by a vow? On Amy Down's website, this is a website, you can hire a speaker, speaks all over the world. On her website, it says this as part of her biography. While buried alive and waiting to die, she realized she had never really lived. Once freed from the rubble, Downs promised God she would never live her life the same. Now, does that mean she's lived a perfect life since? Nope. Does it mean that she's lived a changed life since? Yeah. Does it mean that she's lived a life that fits these verses here? Return, O my soul, to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, that's what it means. A changed life. That verse, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of the people. I don't know if you noticed, it happens twice. I'm going to do something. I'm going to respond to what God has done. And that's God in his sovereignty gives us this ability to respond, this opportunity to respond. It's called life. And so I want to take this now to prayer, as we've done the last couple of times together. We've had this time of prayer, and it seems fitting for today as well that we would have a time of prayer. And you can join me in the front, you know, on your knees if you want. You don't have to. You know, you could stay right where you are in the seat, seated. You could stand, you could kneel, you could go to the back, the side, stand, do whatever you like. Think about what you might like and what will fit what's going on in your heart right now. Keep in mind that if anything happens for any of us, if God's gotten through via his word, via this gathering, our singing, our praying, our fellowship, if God's gotten through to even one of us, that blesses all the rest of us. Amen? And if he gets through to more of us, then we're all the better for it. And we're all edified, that means built up by it. And if you do, join me in prayer. However you're going to pray, you're saying, you know, I saw God do something in my life or in someone else's life. I'm going to say something. I'm going to respond. It's part of responding. And there's five different things you might be saying to God through this time of prayer. Let me just take a little time to talk about what these things might be. The number one thing is, you might be saying, you know, today's it's time. I'm going to cross the line from death to life. I want to be a believer now, starting now. And your prayer would be, please deliver me. I'm buried alive. Give me a new story now. And his deliverance is spelled out. We rehearsed it the last week as we talked about what he did during Holy Week, all that he went through, concluding in the cross, his death on the cross, his payment for our sins, and his resurrection from the grave. To believe that, to put all your eggs in that basket, to forget about anything you think you do or need to do, and only trust in what only he, only one, the one and only, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did for you on the cross, that's salvation. That's what the Bible describes as being saved. And so that's what some of us might be saying to God in our time of prayer. Always keep that in mind. Others of us might be saying, thank you for delivering me. Help me tell my new story. I feel a deficit in my life. I feel that there's been silence, and this silence is not called for. You deserved better than my silence, Lord. You have deserved it, and I know I can't pay you back, but I want to pay my vows. I want to talk about you, where you've called me to talk about you. And you know that circumstance, we all do. Is it at work? Is it part of your family that you're dealing with? Is it your neighborhood? Is it somebody that you're with today in worship? You might be saying, please deliver me. You might be saying, thank you for delivering me. Help me tell my story. You might be saying something like this, deliver me again. Help me get my new story back. I know I've been delivered, but I haven't been acting like it. I feel like I dived back into the pile of rubble and concrete. And I'm playing around here in this wreckage. You've called me back. Help me return. That's what the psalmist said to himself. Return. Another thing you might be saying, deliver my friend. Deliver my loved one, Lord. Give him, give her a new story. Are you praying for your son? Are you praying for your daughter, grandson, granddaughter, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife? And your heart aches. And finally, another thing you could be saying is, thank you, Lord, for delivering my loved one, my friend. Help me encourage her or him. By me telling my new story, help me encourage him or her to tell his or her new story. Story of being delivered. God's story. We're going to have this time of prayer, and then after this time of prayer, we're going to do what Christians, we're gathered together like this, are left to do. The final thing to do is to stand up. We're not going to stand up right now. We're going to go to prayer. But after we pray, we're going to stand together and sing, "Thank You, Jesus." Amen? Because that's what it is all about. And that's the summation of our lives. What is your life? My life is, "Thank You, Jesus." That's my whole life. It doesn't look like that sometimes. It needs to look like that more. I'm going to just ask God to help me make it more like that. But that's what it is. It's "Thank You, Jesus." So let me invite you to prayer, joining me in prayer, if you would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful morning and this being called together, this chance to pray, to speak to you. Lord, it's my voice in a microphone through a PA system, but that's not what you're hearing. You can hear loud and clear everyone's voice here in the room, and you hear every one of them. They may think they're barely speaking at all, and you can hear what they don't even know they're saying. Thank you for this, Lord. You do incline your ears to us. You do hear us when we call on you. And Lord, there's some calling on you today saying, "Lord, I need a new story. I'm in the rubble. I got this slab of concrete over me, my sin, and I can't save myself. And there's no walking, breathing human being that can save me. No collection, no group that can. It's only you. In all of history, in all of creation, in all of time, you're the only one, Lord Jesus. And it's what you did, and only what you did, by which I can be saved, through what you did on the cross and through the empty tomb. And I'm putting my trust in you now. I'm confessing that I need you, confessing my sins, and believing that you died for my sins on the cross and were raised for my justification." Lord, bless anyone praying that right now. Bless them. Fill them with your peace and your joy in this moment. And Lord, some of us are grateful because we know we prayed this, but we haven't said what we saw. We've definitely seen something, and we definitely not said something. So help us to tell our new story. Help us to not be afraid, but to be curious, be fascinated, and follow your lead. And say that story, speak that testimony. It's the most powerful force, really, on earth. The story of a redeemed believer. Nothing can change more things in less time than a testimony where you, Lord Jesus, are the Savior. Because you're the only one. And Lord, some of us, we're praying, we're saying, "Lord, I know you're the only one. I've lived differently. I have wandered around and the wandering is done. I'm returning. I'm taking myself by the shirt. I'm talking to myself. I'm going back to you. You've been good to me. You're patient with me. You're forgiving. Lord, I'm grateful. And I know you will always take me back. And here you are again on this beautiful spring morning taking me back. Thank you, Lord." Some of us, our hearts ache for someone we love. And we can see their faces as we pray. We can speak their names. A son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, grandson, granddaughter, brother, sister, neighbor, coworker. Lord, give them a new story. Help us to tell our new story, bring other people into their lives that tell their new story about you, and give them a new story. And then others of us, Lord, we're praying, grateful that you did it. You did it. We prayed, and in your perfect timing, you brought this loved one, this friend, to yourself. You pulled them out. You pulled them out of the rubble and the concrete, and now they've got a different life, a different story, and a different eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, some of us, our prayer request wasn't covered by the five categories I spoke about, and so we lift those to you now. And we're particularly burdened by something today, particularly weighed down by something today, and we ask that you lift it off of us, lift us out of it, that we may lift your name in praise now. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, let me invite you to stand, and let's sing together our song, Thank You, Jesus.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.